1 Corinthians chapter number 3, and there's a couple of you, I may have preached this in your church, and so I'm just going to let you know that now, but knowing you, I know you need to hear it again. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, I won't keep you very long. We've already heard a magnificent message tonight, preaching all day long. And I just want to bring some thoughts as we think of this confronting the culture. And we got where we are in our nation, in our world, not overnight. It has happened gradually to get us where we are. Now, there's a danger, if I can just mention this, there's a danger to think that we can turn it back overnight. And we can't do that. We cannot bypass what God says is necessary to do what needs to be due. I'm going to be very just blunt. I know you're not used to that around here, but I'm going to be very blunt when I say this. I believe there's been some past elections that we bypass God's recipe for revival and said if we can just get the right candidates in, that'll take care of it. That's not going to take care of it. We can't turn it back with an election. You can't turn it back with a political wave. It's going to take God's recipe. I believe I'm going to give us some things tonight that has grabbed my attention as far as my ministry. If you don't want to get on board, you don't have to. You just get left behind. But this is a focus that I think we need because I may not see revival in my lifetime. I'm not ruling that out. But I want my kids and my grandkids to see it. And if there's some things I can do so that they can see it, so that my grandkids have a better world than I have, I'm willing to do that. Just like we're thankful for those patriots at 18 and 19 and 20 that were willing to give their lives on a beach somewhere so that those that came behind them, I think as God's people, there ought to be some sacrifices we're willing to make, some things we're willing to do. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, stand with me if you can just for a moment to stretch your legs. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, when I was a child, I heard a preacher say that at a conference like this, and I was like, oh my goodness, how long are they going to keep us? They want us to stretch. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse 3, for ye are yet carnal. Now, I know that Paul is just writing to the only carnal church that's ever existed at Corinth. The only one. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Watch this. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. I would say we would all say amen to that passage of Scripture. Anything good that we would do in ministry, it's got to be 100% credit to God. We know this. Tonight, I want us to look at this passage a little bit differently. I want to speak on the potential in the seed. The potential in the seed. There's a reason why it's important what Bible we pick up. There's a reason why we continue to keep soul winning at the forefront. There's a reason why we mention Sunday school and Bible study. Because there's potential in the seed. Tonight, let's see what God has for us on that thought. Father, I pray that you'd use your word. Already we've been helped. Already we've been blessed. I pray that this message tonight would provoke some thinking, some thought, some long-range planning. Father, may we be convicted and reminded. May a faithful preacher who's stayed his post tonight for year after year, may he be reminded it's really about the seed that's been planted. And Father, may we continue to plant that seed. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. We see the condition of our nation, at least from my standpoint. We may have a tendency to try and shortcut for results. We live in an instant success society. How many likes can I get? We look for that instant satisfaction, and let's be honest, that validation that what we're doing is making a difference. I need to show I'm doing a good job. Maybe I wonder if I'm doing any good. We get focused on those results, and let me say, I like results. I'm looking for results. I want results. God is a results God. But see, I believe God's work done God's way is going to yield results. They may not just all come about when we want them to come about. They may not all happen where we can see them. We may not all happen where others can see them. But God does have a plan. He does have a recipe for His work. I want to see them right away. Patience is not my virtue. But God doesn't always check with me to make sure the results I want are the same results that He has planned. I don't know if this has ever been you as a soul winner. You might say, I went out, but I didn't see anyone saved. As a Sunday school teacher, you taught the lesson, but it just didn't seem to register. These kids just were not paying attention. We started this ministry, and it just hasn't seemed to take off. Well, I've instructed my child, and I've told my child, and I've told my child, no matter how much that I instruct them, this is what you do. Here's the principle. Here's the character I want you to have. They just don't seem to have it. See, let me remind us of the value in the seed. We like this passage of Scripture because it reminds us it's not about personalities, it's about God. Now, I will say, I think it's okay for those that were won by Paul to have a love for Paul. I think it's okay for those that were won by Apollos to have a love for Apollos. But I think it's even better for us to be reminded that it's not about Paul, it's not about Apollos, it's about Jesus Christ. But let me say, as Paul says, he says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. We would all say amen to God gives the increase. You don't provide the increase. I don't provide the increase. It's not our responsibility. God provides the increase. But let me pose a question. If Paul had not planted the seed, what would Apollos have watered? There have been those moments as you try and be a witness and you go soul winning, you have those Philippian jailer where you just seem like the person says, what must I do to be saved? I would submit to you that when that takes place, you're just reaping the fruit of what somebody else has planted. There's a grandmother that has prayed for her grandchild to be saved. There's a preacher that preached a message when they were a child or when they were in church. That there's something that God has done in their life. There's a gospel tract they picked up, and we come back and we say, I saw this many saved, and praise the Lord for that. You see somebody saved. You saw a miracle happen right in front of you. You saw an eternity change right in front of you. Be excited about that. But let us be reminded that we should be in the business of planting seed because we value the seed. Paul planted so that somebody else could water. And you and I must be reminded that that is our responsibility as preachers. I'm preaching the Word of God. What am I doing? I'm planting seed. As I give the gospel, I'm planting seed. As I instruct scriptural principles, I'm planting seed. Parent, when you instruct your children in the things of God, you're planting that seed. It's foolish to think that when you give your child that lesson at 3, that they've mastered it. It is going in one ear and out the other. Kind of like your church members. No doubt, I'm going to have church members come up to me Sunday and say, Pastor, that message by so-and-so and so-and-so, oh, those truths. I'm going to say, I just preached on that 2 weeks ago. That's going to happen. But let me just remind us some things about this seed. I think you see where I'm going. Let me say, first of all, every seed has potential. I have here, you probably can't see it, but I have a seed from a piece of fruit. If you were to take this and eat it, it wouldn't taste very well. This seems to have no value. It's little. You can get another one of these, but you know there's potential in here. Inside every seed is potential for a tree. You realize that inside every tree is a forest? See, when we give a gospel tract or we preach a message because we can't see the end result of it, we often question whether or not there is value in it. Sometimes we see that other fire and we say, maybe there's some shortcuts there. Maybe I can gather a crowd and make more of a difference. And by the way, that's where a lot of compromise comes. I'm just trying to get the gospel to more people. We must realize it's the seed. I am to focus on the seed because the seed has potential. See, what looks small and insignificant holds divine purpose and power. That one message that you fumble through and you leave and you wonder, what in the world was God trying to do? You don't know what God did with that seed. That gospel tract that you left, that witness that you gave, you don't know what God's going to do with it. Well, it just seems like I'm getting nowhere. I don't know if you've ever felt that way. But sometimes we work and we work and we work and we work and we preach and we preach and we witness and we witness, and my town's not saved yet. I don't know if yours is. I would dare say we work and we work and we work, and sometimes we wonder, are we really making a difference? Amen. Sometimes what I think is good for us to do to go back to that seed and say, this is the power. I'm not the power. I'm going to be honest with you. I like going to the fruit tree and pulling the fruit. But somebody had to plant that seed. And somebody had to water that seed. And then somebody had to allow that to grow so that I could pull the fruit. Here we are sometimes. Maybe it's just me, and if it's just me, just pretend it's you too. I know the value of the seed. I remind the value of the seed, but sure is nice to see that fruit. I'm going to get ahead of myself, but it was nice to host Dr. Tom Wallace and have him tell me, man after man after man after man after man after man who pastored all over the world. When he was making his decisions and deciding what he believed and preached those early messages, he didn't see that. He just saw seed. He was faithful to plant the seed. Are you following me tonight? Every seed has potential. That person in your church that God has given you, and you're wondering, why did God give them to me? It's potential. And if you're here with your pastor, you're not a pastor, you just came with somebody, or you don't know how you got here, let me say something to you. Your pastor sees you for what more you see yourself. That's why he pushes you. That's why he prods you. That's why he pulls you. Because he sees you beyond the seed. Every seed has potential. Number two, the potential is unlocked through planting. I agree with what Brother Donnelly preached this morning, or this evening. Seems like he started this morning, but I agree with that. This is the Word of God. Well, can you explain how it works? It's supernatural. That's my only explanation for that. Well, what does that mean? It means that God does things with it you and I cannot understand. He changes lives. He changes eternity. He cleans people up. He gives the answers when it seems there is no answer. But that does no good when it's closed to you and I. Just like a seed, we can talk about, we have salvation by grace. And by the way, it is still salvation by grace. Are you with me? We can say we have the Word of God, but what good does it do if we don't tell anybody? What good does it do if we don't preach the whole counsel of God? What good does it do if we're not a witness? What good does it do if we don't say, I'll take my life, I'll let God use my life? See, I can walk around with this seed in my hand and say, I got a seed. Do you know what this seed could be? This seed could be a whole forest. This seed could produce a lot of fruit. The fruit of this seed could feed a nation. Think about the potential of this seed. You know, we do that a lot as preachers. Boy, we have potential in the Word of God. There's nothing our God can't do. I agree. I believe God can do a great work. I believe God is still a big God. I believe God wants our city saved more than we want our city saved. And if we're not careful, we walk around with the heritage, which I'm for preserving and reminding us of, walking around and say, we have the right heritage. We have what works. But it does no good walking around with the seed in our hand, talking about the potential of the seed, when we're not instilling this in the next generation. We're just leaving them to ourselves. No, there ought to be a systematic structure of teaching. I make no bones about it. I am trying to indoctrinate the children that go to church here. I get accused of that. I just get out front of that. Hey, I'll let you know, if you put your kids in our school, we're going to indoctrinate them. We want them to love America. We want them to be able to read. We're going to teach them about Jesus. We want them to get saved, and we're going to teach them that God created them for a specific purpose, and happiness and joy in life is not the American dream. It is finding what God created them to do and doing it. And I want them to believe it, no matter who tells them differently. I want people to know that no matter what they've done or where they've been, the Word of God can change them in that instant, can clean them up, wash away their past. It's good preaching when it's right there. We got to plant it. See, a seed in your hand has potential. A seed in the ground has power. Until the seed is planted, its potential remains unused. See, when you put this seed in the ground, it's going to die in order for it to produce life. There's a whole other message in that. See, that potential is only activated once it's planted. There's perhaps Christians in here, you don't understand what God could do in your life if you just take that seed, open it up, put it in your heart. You don't realize what might happen in your town, in your city, in your state, in your country, in your nation. If we just got a hold of the fact, there's a lot of churches represented in this room right now. Can you imagine if we all left with the fervor? I've got to quit looking for the fruit just to pluck. I got to start planting seed. Well, I may not be here to water it or reap it. Somebody else can water it. Somebody else could reap it. We got to have a generation again that yes, we've enjoyed plucking the fruit off of the great Christians and church builders before us. But somewhere along the line, there's got to be a generation of people that says, I'll use my life to plant as much seed as I possibly can plant. And when my time is done, maybe God will send somebody behind me to water it. Now, if he'll let me plant it, water it, and reap it, that's what I prefer, and God will give you some of that. But we need to have this long-term. If I can't see the benefits of it, or if they're not going to all come in my doors, I don't have anything to do with it. We got to get back to planting seed. Potential is unlocked through planting. Number three, potential requires the right conditions. I tell my people as a pastor, I don't try and make them grow. It's my responsibility, I believe, to provide the right environment for them to grow. And let me say, that's why I'm very careful of the music. I'm careful of the way we do things. I'm careful of the atmosphere that is set. I don't think anybody would argue that the presence of God has been here this week. I can only provide an environment for my own children. I can provide an environment for them to grow. This will help some of you if you'll allow it. Take some pressure off of you, because there's Christian parents that think it's your job to make your children turn out right. Man. You can't do that. All you can do is provide the right environment. You do what you want to do, but my children knew growing up, once you got to that dating age of 35, I said that till then I got tired of paying their bills, and then I offloaded one of them. But I said, if I don't want you to marry somebody, I'm going to tell you not to date them. I'm just going to provide the environment for you to grow. I can't change a heart. I can't make somebody be spiritual. It requires the right conditions. See, good soil, light, and water bring out what's already inside the seed. It's already in the seed to produce, become what it has the potential to become. That's why those that God has entrusted to us, they're in our church nurseries. They sit before us every week. They're in our Sunday school classes. We pass them in places of business, and we interact with them on a weekly basis. What is inside of them is already there. What God can make out of a life, God can make out of a home. I'm not saying anything tonight that we don't already know. I just want to remind us that potential requires those right conditions. It does matter what fire you warm by. You know, if the soil's not good, it doesn't grow like it could grow. I'm not going to stand here and say that nobody can ever get saved if they don't have something exactly like I have it. You have to have the gospel. Amen. That you have to have. But what I'm saying is, how strong is it going to grow with good soil or bad soil? Can it even take root in bad soil? Yeah. Let me give you number four. Number four, number five is really where I want to get to, and we'll call it a night. Number four, potential is an instant, is progressive. You may not need this, but I've needed this. I believe in the power of God. I've seen the power of God. I believe God is so powerful that He could take this seed, and if He saw fit in an instant, it could be a full-grown tree producing fruit. So because I know God is that powerful, when I preach a message, I'm like, good, they're all fixed now. I've pastored this church for 13 years. I'm still waiting for God to show that kind of power. The longer I pastor, I'm just trying not to mess them up any more than they already messed up. But I know He has that kind of power, but He has put some things in motion that the way He does certain things, and somebody's got to be faithful to just plant seed. And I got to understand that when that new convert comes in, or as Brother Gunther taught today, when that Christian who's been away comes back in the church doors, just because they're received back into fellowship, or they become that child of God through salvation, in an instant they're not going to be where they need to be. There's got to be some nurturing, and there's got to be some love, and there's got to be some watering, because it is progressive. We would all say we need more Christian workers. We need more Sunday school teachers. We need more pastors. We need more preachers. We need more missionaries. I wonder how many seeds were planted and they weren't watered. I wonder how many little sprouts came up and they weren't tended to, or we let the soil get tampered with, and they died, or they got weak, or they didn't produce fruit. The seed was planted. We got to understand that there it's not instant, it's progressive. I know that this kind of thinking doesn't give us good optics with the brethren. This is just me. You don't have to. You can just ignore this if you'd like. But it would do us good to quit trying to produce so that we could preach for our alma mater. And just say, I'm going to plant seed where God has placed me. I'm going to water it. And if somebody's planted seed and God says, water that seed, I'm okay with somebody who comes in and there's a seed that's already been planted inside of them. Well, I don't know. This is what other preachers do, not us, just to help us out tonight with our egos. We preach, and I don't know about you, but when I preach and somebody gets saved, that's awesome. Now, this is other preachers, not us. Man, I knew that alliteration was going to push it over the top. Am I right, Brother Terrell? Yes, thank you. If you ever have a conversation with Brother Terrell, he will alliterate the conversation, just so you know. Oh, that outline that I prayed over and I stole from, I mean, I prayed over. But let's be honest, somebody else planted the seed. Somebody else watered it. Well, God works in seasons. Friend, this is why, and I'm glad the emphasis has been, and I haven't been the only one that make it. Other preachers have referenced this. There's something to men who've been at this for a long time. And as a young preacher, if you're a young preacher, let me give you some counsel. I've been a young preacher. Brother Gray, remember when you were a young preacher? Yeah. If we're not careful, we'll look at the older preachers and say, I want what they see them having. But what we forget is there's seed that's been planted. And the process. That's why it's important you have the Word of God, because what we preach is going to help our people grow. It's been touched on today, and I think I'll touch on it again before I get to the last point, but, you know, we don't need to do the Holy Spirit's work. He's perfectly capable of convicting. You know, He can clean people up better than I can. I believe in standards. I have convictions about things. But you know who's better at that than I am? The Holy Spirit is. And that seed's got to be planted and watered. Number five, the enemy fears the potential of the seed. This is what we need to take home with us tonight. Satan's not just attacking trees. He attacks the seeds. This is why I'm very firm, and I teach what I teach to my people about these emerging churches. Because they deceive new converts. They deceive people into thinking they are converts. Not to get off subject, but it's common practice. How many of you want to make a decision to follow Jesus? Let's baptize you. There's no more gospel. They say they don't do that. Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no more gospel in that. There's no more salvation in that. What is that? It's attack on the seed. See, there's a reason why Pharaoh was killing babies. There's a reason why Herod killed the infants. He's after the seed. See, we've got to plant the seed. We have to guard the King James Bible. We have to guard soul winning. We have to guard Bible preaching. Because he's after the seed. This might be controversial to some, and it might be the only controversial thing you hear this whole week. But you need to guard your seed against these Bible colleges who say they're us and they're not. They sing the hymns when they bring their tour group to your church, but they train them contemporary. They come to you and say they're us, and then they give them a good dose training of all the books that were talked about in the previous message. We rear them in local churches. You have to be guarded of how you let them take that seed. I'm careful where I send my kids to youth conferences, youth camps. I said this more than 10 years ago, and I hate to be right on some of these things. I'm glad I'm right. But there's been a whole, my opinion, you don't have to agree with me, there's been a whole generation stolen from us because of rebellious youth speakers. Who they're mad at the way their daddy reared them. And there are all these youth speakers. Give your life to God, but don't train for the ministry. and tried to undo a whole generation of surrendering your life to God and say, well, there's too many preachers that call people to the ministry. I was not called by a preacher, but there was a preacher preaching when I was called. I was called by the Spirit of God, and I've never had to decide. And by the way, well, they were manipulated emotionally. Well, if you surrendered, you may not have meant it, but God heard it. You got to guard that seed. Friend, tonight, if there's something God wants you to do, He's going to try and discourage, delay, and distract you from ever getting planted. He can wait out that pastor for that next generation. Train them. Train them. Now, we've honored and mentioned so many of the past generation, those we hold in high esteem have been mentioned. I'm glad they are, and I don't ever want there to be a time when they're not mentioned. And I know we get accused of man worship. Somebody went after me on social media not too long ago. You worship Jack Hiles. And he was telling me that while he was wearing a Captain America t-shirt. At least my hero is a real man. I don't even know what I was going to say now. Oh, let me tell you what I think's happening in our country. The devil can wait those men out. He did. And then when there was a void, there was those that corrupted the seed. I look at this kind of as a big picture. I'm a big picture thinker. I try to be. Have a little bit of discernment, see what God is. I'm nobody special, just the way I think. And I look at it from that analytical situation, and I see that void, and I see a generation that has been taken from us. My generation and down. And I'm just going to be very blunt and transparent, and I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm just talking to you. I don't understand. People who went to Bible college with me and believe what I believe, they took that generation behind them. And can I say, sacrifice them for their own pleasure, for their own. Well, I don't want them to have the training. Well, I'm okay with the training I had. I see a whole generation that hasn't been seared. Now, not everybody. And I thank God that I bump into people who are my age that still believe like I believe. I thank God for, and believe me, I'm not here saying it's just us tonight. There's a lot of people out there who hold to that book and trying to do something for God. But I'm just speaking from my perspective. You say, what does all that need? You're trying to discourage me? No, it just tells me what we need to do. What we need to do? We need to raise up another generation. We need to plant seeds. There's some we should be pulling the fruit. But now we have to plant the seed. We have to water. See, the devil will try and wait you out. You need to invest in somebody to come behind you. You young men, you young preachers, even those from our church tonight, you understand something. God wants to use you to be something. That seed that's planted that somebody's going to water, somebody's going to be faithful to. And Satan can wait out another generation and try and destroy the seed that's coming behind it. We've got to be faithful with that seed. It is important that we know we have the Word of God, because that's where we find our seed. I don't feel, well, if you really approach the pattern, you men, many of you men have pastored much longer than me, it's an inadequate feeling to try and fulfill that office. You can never, and let me just help us all, there's not a man who's ever pastored that's ever lived up to the qualities, I didn't say qualifications, qualities in the Bible. If you come to me and say, I've lived up to them, I don't have anything to say to you. Because can we really fulfill an office that you cannot fulfill without supernatural touch of God? I mean, I prepare messages that I feel God wants me to preach, and then I look at my congregation, and I was like, it's a very broad mix. How is this going to help everybody? But you know what? God can take that seed. He can put it right where he wants it. And sometimes that message isn't seed at all. It's water. It's fruit. Let's guard that seed tonight, Father. I pray that.